ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 Jnanita jnanite tvatma, jnanita jnanite tvatma, abhasasya vinachatmanaha, abhasasya vinachatmanaha, tatacha katama basaha, tatacha katama basaha, kutastosmiti bhutyatam, kutastosmiti bhutyatam. Jnanita Ajnanite Tu Atma Abhasasya Eva Nacha Atmanaha Tatacha Katam Abhasaha Kutastaha Asmi Iti Bhujyatam. So, just a little review, remembering that the Purusha, this whole chapter is off the first verse. And this section of the first verse of the chapter, Atmanam chet vijaniyat ayam asmi iti purushaha. That's what they're working on right now. What is the Purusha? And how can this Purusha say, I am this? It says, Atmanam cha vijaniyat, having known the self as, ayam asmi, I am this, iti, the purushaha, then the purusha, desiring what and for the sake of whom does he suffer the pains of the body? Okay. That's the verse. And so this whole first section has been defining who is actually the purusha. And so leading into this verse, there were several verses that were saying, how can the purusha, how can the person say, make a statement like, I am the self, I am the Atma. How is that possible? Well, he said, there's three ways that we can say something like that. First, if you're a samsari, you don't have any knowledge. Then there's an anyonya adhyasa, there's a superimposition between the Atma, yourself, and the chittabhasa, right, the jiva, the body, mind, sense organs that reflects consciousness. They're taken to be one. And as that one entity, then you say, I am going or I am doing this. So from that standpoint, you're just a samsari, and that's the primary way, that's what they call mukhyartha, that's the primary way this word is being used, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, where the Atma and the Chittabhasa are taken to be one. But then there's two secondary ways that this can be used, where I say, can use the word I to refer to the Atma. The Tattvavit, the one who has self-knowledge, can speak that way, having, because of your knowledge, having differentiated the Atma, which is changeless, which is always the same, not doing anything, and the chittabhasa, which means the mind, body, sense organs, the upadis that reflect consciousness, that differentiation has been made clearly. And so therefore, when a jnani says, I am going to the store, I am going, I am walking, I am talking, they're referring to the chittabhasa. When they're speaking shastrically, when they're teaching, saying, I am the Asanga Atma, I'm pure consciousness, I'm the limitless self. They're speaking from that standpoint, they're speaking shastrically about the nature of the self that I am in truth. So there's three ways of talking about the self. One is really the vachartha, the immediate meaning, means the way everybody talks it about it. The other is the lakshartha. It means the implied meaning. And that implied meaning that's landing on the Atma, right? And when I'm speaking that way, I'm speaking as a jnani teaching. right? Shastrically I'm speaking. But if I'm saying I'm going to the store, it's not all of a sudden I've forgotten myself. I'm just talking from the standpoint of the Chidabhasa, who's an actor within the Maya. Okay? So now that doubt has been resolved about how on earth can somebody say I am, you know? How could that be possible for a jnani? How can that? So that's how they did it, those three ways. But now he pushes it a little further. He says, jnanita, the state of having knowledge, that's an abstract, having knowledge, being one with a jnani, is jnani, one who knows, one who has knowledge. Jnanita, like jnanitvam, that ta and tvam, the state of that. So the state of being of having knowledge. Or ajnanita, the state of not having knowledge. So that jnanita, ajnanite is a dvandva compound, right? Two, whereas, atma abhasasya eva, nacha atmanaha. That state of having knowledge or not having knowledge can only be for the chitabhasa. Can only be for the mind, right? For the reflection of consciousness. It can't be for the atma. You can't say the atma is jnani or ajnani. The atma is limitless consciousness. It's not ignorant. It's not knowledgeable. It is pure consciousness. It is the self of the whole, right? And so your being is not going to be ajnani or ajnani, and therefore, right? And therefore, these terms, they only belong to the chitabhasa. That's the first line. See that atma bhasasya is the chitabhasa in the genitive? Eva. Atma abhasasya eva, for the chitabhasa, alone. Nacha atmaha, and not for the atma. Right? What is for the chitabhasa, the atma abhasa, and not for the atma? The state of being a jnani or not a jnani. Right? Tatacha, and well, that's so, and that being so, tatacha, then what? Katam abhasaha kutastaha asmi iti buddhitam. How can this abhasa, this reflection of consciousness, the mind, how can it know I am the kutasta? Right? Here's the chitabhasa, this mind sense organs which is moving and thinking and changing and having all emotions and all of this. How can that one, that chitabhasa, know I am the kutasta? It's not the kutasta. This is their argument. So how can they do that? That's the thinking. So that's the objection that's being raised here. Because why? Being a jnani or being an ajnani, first of all, only belongs to the chitabhasa, not to the atma. We would say, yeah, that's true. Well, if that's true, if that is true, then how can the chitabhasa say, I am the kutasta? Do you see the problem there? Right? So if the jnanam and ajnanam only belong to the chitabhasa, not to the kutasta, not to the atma, then how can the chitabhasa say I'm the kutasta? Right? How can it say I'm the atma? It doesn't make any sense. So it says, nayam doshas chitabhasaha, nayam doshas chitabhasaha, kutastaika svabhavavan, kutastaika svabhavavan, abhasatvasya mityatvat, abhasatvasya mityatvat, kutastatva vasheshana, kutastatva vasheshana. He says, na ayam doshaha, Sandi, na ayam doshaha, chid abhasaha, kutasta eka, svabhavavan. Abhasatvasya mityatvat kutastatva avasheshanat. Okay? He says, there's no problem here. Na ayam doshaha. This is not a defect. Right? This is not, there's nothing wrong here. Not this dosha. This is not a dosha. This is not a defect. No problem. What? Why? The chidabhasaha, this reflection of consciousness. And remember, this is how Vijaranya speaks of the mind, the sense organs, anything that enjoys, anything that's an upadhi, right, that's enjoying consciousness, but itself comes and goes and so doesn't have consciousness from its own standpoint, there's a mithya to a satya mithya relationship here. So in this case, it says that chirabhasa kutasta ekaswabhavavan is one who has for its swabhava, its nature, the kutasta alone. Right? What is mithya? The chirabhasa, this reflect, what we call this reflection of consciousness, which means what? The mind that is able to say, I am a conscious being. If the mind is able to say, I am a conscious being, that mind has what for its svabhava, for its nature? Is consciousness. When you say, by the way, for svabhava, if you say svabhava vat, svabhava van, it means one who possesses that. Like buddhimat, or svabhava vat, vat and mat. When they're added on to a noun, show possession. So here, the chirabhasa, this reflection of consciousness, has the swabhava, has for its own nature. The kutasta alone, kutasta eka, only the kutasta. So there is no distance at all between the chirabhasa, the reflection of consciousness, and consciousness. It's not like the reflection of consciousness is over here, and then consciousness is over here. The very being that the mind enjoys, the very being that the buddhi enjoys, is the kutasta. So, there's no two people here. There's no two people here. But then you think, well, how? Why do you have these two words then? Right. So he says, abhasatvasya mithyatvat. He says, the state of abhasa, this abhasa, you know, he goes, abhasatva. That state of abhasa, that being the abhasa, that reflection, being the reflection, right, abhasatva. Abhasatvasya, for being the being, for being the reflection, what is that? Mithyatva. Because of the reflection, that state of being and reflection, that is mithya, right? That here I say, here I'm talking to you now, I say, you know, I'm reflected consciousness. Is there anything, such thing as reflected consciousness that's away from consciousness? Does it have any being or existence of its own? Say, no, it's mithya. If we say it's mithya, what does it mean for something to be mithya? It means that its being is the satyam. What is really there is satyam. The mithya is what totally, 100% depends for its existence on the satyam. Right? That's satyam mithya. The best example, we always use it, clay pot. Because if you think clay pot, it's easy to say, to see, that there's a clay there and there's a pot. There's a pot. It's useful. It's useful in empirical reality. But it has no existence at all, zero. Zero, apart from the clay. You have to be able to see it that fully, that really, with the clay pot, the only thing there is clay. That's satyam mithya. There's no intervening being. You can say, yeah, but it's clay with namarupa. It's clay, but it has name and form. Isn't that the second thing there? No. Can you find the name and form apart from the clay? We can say that the name and form has utility, but is there anything really there apart from the clay? That's Maya. Maya is what allows for this to be so. So now, in reference to you and your self-experience, if we say that the chidabhasa, I mean this one who is talking, this one that says, I'm going to the store, the one who says, I am the kutasta atma, I am the limitless self. That one who's talking comes and goes. That's not the kutasta atma. Right? The talking, the thinking, the recognition, the jnani, the one who says, I'm the atma. I recognize, oh my gosh, I recognize, I'm the atma. Is the atma going, oh my gosh? It's not doing anything. It always is exactly the same. But that one, that the mithya mind is extolling is the clay of the pot. It is the only being that is there. So you, the kutasta atma, you in fact are the self, the very being of the chidabhasa. It's not like there's two. There's clay pot there. And so because of that, he says, na ayam dosha, there's no problem. There is no problem here because the chit-abhasa is not real. What do we mean by not real? It means it has no separate being. For you to say, well, the chit-abhasa is saying I'm the kutasta. Well, can the pot say I'm the clay? Right? We would say like this, the pot would say, you know what? I'm nothing but clay. The clay's not going to say that. You know? Or it could, I guess, if it had a voice. If it had a voice. Atman would say, if I said, as the chit-abhasa, I said, oh, I'm limitless awareness. That's my truth. If the Atma had a voice, it would say, finally, good. That's right. That's absolutely right. But that one who's speaking, that's the mind. Right? But the mind is speaking about the self of the mind. Right? The being of the mind. Satyam Mitya. The Swamiji now, so much of the way he teaches now, it's all Satyam Mitya, Satyam Mitya, Satyam Mitya. Because he wants always, you know, always trying to find different ways to make something understood. And now, and Vidyaranya is going to be doing the same thing. To recognize the aparokshatvam means the immediacy of yourself, which is changeless and limitless. There's no place. The chit-abhasa has nowhere to go. What the chit-abhasa is, its reality is Brahman, the very reality. So it's not a matter of looking around for it. It's a matter of recognizing the very reality of what's there. So he says, when he says like this, there's no defect here. Because the chit-abhasa has for its svabhava, its very being, its very nature, the kutastha atma alone. There's not anything intervening there. It is that, in fact. How can you say that? Well, because the chit-abhasa, this abhasa is mitya. Right? It has no being of its own. And that being so, kutastha avashesha not. All that's left remaining there is the kutastha. Right? Again, understanding, there's another level of understanding mitya. When we define mitya, sometimes we just say dependent reality. It's a very good way to define it. What is mitya? It's something that has no being of its own. It totally depends on its being on something else. Like the pot totally depends upon the clay for its being. It's a dependent reality. But what if we were to just look at the mitya of its own accord? Because like, for instance, here we are in this room, and every part of this whole, we'll call it maya, this whole maya projection that makes the room, right, is mitya. But that means you're mitya and I'm mitya from the standpoint of myself as a body, physical body here, with sense organs and mind perceiving you. The body is mitya, the sense organs are mitya, the mind is mitya, the emotions are mitya, the ahankara is mitya. There's nothing here that in our experience through the sense perception or the mind that is not mitya. Okay? And so now we're looking at each other, as we look at each other and we experience this creation through our mitya sense organs, we're experiencing the mitya creation through our mitya sense organs. Mitya experiencing mitya makes it all seem real, right? Because we're in this three-dimensional reality. So then the mind will say, well, how can you say that none of this has any independent being of its own and that it's mitya? I don't accept that. I don't accept that this is all mitya and that there's some independent, there's some being that this is dependent upon. So then the next question that we have to say, well, show me some substance that this is. Because if this chit-abhasa, the chit-abhasa and everything that chit-abhasa is experiencing is real, it means it has its own substance, then you show me some substance. Find some substance for me. Find some actual thing here. in this projection that we're all, in this world that we're all experiencing, in order to say that there's a substance here. There's the kutastha atma, this changeless atma, okay, I'll accept that, changeless being, but the changeless being and this. To be able to say the changeless being that I am, the conscious existent being that I am, and this, you need to be able to show me this as something. You need to prove that there's something here. And that's what you can't do, because there's no object here that you can find that's not infinitely divisible. So this is a whole logic that needs to be a step, that a person needs to go through. You need to think your way through that to see that there is no substance here away from being itself. That in fact the clay, everything is clay pot. There is nothing here in your experience that that can resolve into anything other than being, pure being. Right? Because all of the nama rupas are subject to birth and death and to continual dissection, infinite, ad infinitum. Dissecting it into smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, or looking at it in terms of coming into being and going out of being, the only thing that remains the constant is being itself, which is who? It's another thing which, again, your mind has to work on all of this, because what you end up with is the being itself, which is you, being itself, which is not out there. Anything that's out there, as objectified by your sense organs, is something which is coming into being and going out of being. You can start out here, coming into being, going out of being, coming into being, going out of being. This body, all the changes the body goes through, coming into being, going out of being. Everything the mind goes through, coming into being, going out of being. All of my perceptions coming into being and going out of being. Do you know what the steady word is? It's being, coming into being, going out of being. Why don't you just say being? There is only being, and that being is me, right? Because I'm the bottom line, right? Of my experience, there's a bottom line of what actually is. And what actually is what's going to be my truth and your truth and the truth of the rug, etc. What actually is. There's nothing away from what actually is. Everything else depends on everything else. All the perceptions depend on what actually is. What actually is not going to be a perception. Right? It's going to be the very being of the perception. Right? If you think like that, what actually is the very being of the perception itself. Is not a perception. And that's when we get to this what we call the aproksha nature of the self. So let's go on. This is where he's going here. Kutesto smiti bodhopi, mitya chet neti kovadet, mitya chet neti kovadet, nahi satyatiya bhishtam, nahi satyatiya bhishtam, rajusarpa visarpanam, rajusarpa visarpanam. He says, he brings in an objection. An objector comes in, stops the conversation for the moment. He says, but even the cognition, bodhaha, even the cognition of kutastaha asmi, they say, I am the kutastha. Even that very cognition itself, the knowledge itself, I am the kutastha. That knowledge itself is mithya. You say, I am the kutastha. You have that knowledge. You had ignorance before. You're saying that I am the kutastha. That's your knowledge. That knowledge is mithya. Right? You didn't have the knowledge before. So the knowledge is mithya. So he says, chait, if that's what you're saying, if that's the objection, then neti kahavade. He says, who says it's not mithya? Okay. Who says it's not? He says, nahi satyatiya bhishtam raju sarpa visarpanam. He says, the going away or the movement, visarpana, of a snake, of the snake on the rope. Raju means rope. the snake on a rope. Say the snake is moving. Hey, you see the rope there, you see a moving snake, it's slithering. Visarapana means slithering. You can even say, oh, the snake is slithering away, slithering off the rope. Right? But obviously, visarapana just means the movement of a snake. So what he's saying, for the snake that's projected on a rope, no one wants to make the point that that's true. Right? Say, there's a snake on a rope. The snake's projected on the rope. Okay. And now the rope is slithering. The snake is moving. Do you think that the movement of the snake is true? The snake is mithya, right? The snake is mithya. It's apparent. Do you think that its slithering is being real? So like that, there's a chittabhasa. The chittabhasa gains knowledge. The chittabhasa is mithya. The chittabhasa gains knowledge. Right? Do we think that the mithya chittabhasa is going to gain real knowledge? No. Did it have real ignorance? Right? The chittabhasa had mithya jnanam, had mithya ignorance, it had mithya knowledge. Right? So the whole thing. How to understand this, though, we'll get him to make it more clear as he develops this. Think of it like this. Sometimes when Swamiji used to thoroughly do the drik-drisha viveka, you get to a point where you're objectifying everything that can possibly be objectified. You know, the world and the physical body and the sense organs and the mind. And then you objectify the ahankara and you realize that's just an object of awareness. Then you objectify your moods and emotions. That those things are just known to you. You're lighting all those things up. You're the subject to lighting up all those things. And then also, you'll go to your ignorance. Your ignorance also is known to you. Like, are you aware that you don't know Chinese, for instance? Oh, yes, I'm aware of that. Are you aware that you don't know your geography? Well, yes, I know you're aware of that. Yeah. Do you know what you know? Yes, I know what I know. I light up what I know. Do you know what you don't know? Yes, I know. I don't know everything that I don't know, but I know that there's a lot of things I don't know. So I light up what I know, and I light up what I don't know. So I'm the self that is the light for my ignorance and the light for my knowledge. So this antakarana belongs to the chittabhasa. It had self-ignorance, right? And because of that self-ignorance, that anyonya adhyasa, that mutual superimposition was there, that allowed me to just say, you know, I, this being, this physical body, this person, I'm going to the store. And now that chittabhasa gains knowledge. And what does it say? Now I'm a jnani. Now I know. You know, I'm the kutastha atma. So this one knows. Now this differentiation has been made. It's very clear. Okay. So this chittabhasa, mithya chittabhasa, was an ajnani. And now the mithya chittabhasa is a jnani. Okay. Both mithya, the whole thing is mithya. Who disagrees with that? Nobody. We accept that. So no problem. So it's just like, once you accept the snake is mithya, then whatever the snake does is mithya, right? What if the snake says, you know, I'm really the rope? Then the mithya snake now has knowledge that it's really the rope. Right? You see that? The rope is not having a problem one way or the other. The Atma doesn't have a problem one way or the other. It is not gaining knowledge. It's the very self, the very swarupa of knowledge and ignorance. So that's the idea. Then he says, tadrishena pibodhena, tadrishena pibodhena, samsaro hi nivartate, samsaro hi nivartate. Yakshanurupo hi balihi, yakshanurupo hi balihi, ityahurlaukikajanaha, sandhi. Tadrashena api bodhena samsaraha hi nivartate, yaksha anurupaha hi balihi, iti ahuhu laukikaha janaha. he says, samsara, the samsara, hi nivartate. That says samsara is removed. Bodhena, bodhena samsara hi nivartate. The samsara is something which is goes away. It's removed. It's gotten rid of. Bodhena by knowledge. By that type of knowledge, he says. Sadrashenapi bodhena. Knowledge is gotten rid of by that type of knowledge. Samsara is gotten rid of by knowledge, which is like that. Yaksha anurupaha hi balihi iti ahuhu laukikaha janaha. Just like people in the world, worldly people, there's a nyaya, which means like a logical aphorism that people will say. It's called a nyaya. It's the for a deity, a yaksha, you know, the bali, the offering that you give to a yaksha should be appropriate to the yaksha. Whatever you offer to a deity, let it be appropriate to that deity. It has to be of the same order of reality. It has to be something which serves that particular deity. So, like that, when you're going to remove the samsara, you have to be using some means that will work on the samsara. It has to be of the same order of reality. In the Bhasha, he talks about, and this story is often told in throughout the different Prakarna Granthas. It's like if you were, say you're dreaming, you're dreaming in a deep dream, you know. And what happens is in the dream, a tiger jumps on you, right? You're in the dream, but in the dream, a tiger comes out of the jungle and jumps on you. And that shocks you awake. So the dream tiger shocks you and you wake up. Okay? So like that, here we are in samsara. Right? Here we are in samsara. So the samsari student, the student who's in the samsara, in this world, the student who's in this world, has the dream guru, who's the tiger, all right, who's giving this knowledge that wakes the student up. So like that, the knowledge that's being given has to be in the same order of reality as the person who's receiving the knowledge, you know. Otherwise, how can they get the knowledge? So like that, he says, yaksha anurupa, in keeping with the yaksha, in keeping with the deity, the offering has to be such. It's in keeping with that deity. So like that, by this knowledge, which is like that, in keeping with the samsara, right, that knowledge is that knowledge that's going to remove the samsara. Everybody see what that is? Okay. So he says, tasmat abhasa purushaha. Tasmat abhasa purushaha. Sakutasto vivichitam. Sakutasto vivichitam. Kutasto smiti vignatum. Kutasto smiti vignatum. Arhati jabhyadhat shrutihi. Arhati jabhyadhat shrutihi. Tasmat. Abhasa purushaha sakutastaha divichya tam kutastaha asmi iti vignatum arhati iti abhyadhat shrutihi. He says, therefore, tasmat, the abhasa purusha. Remember in the first verse, it's the purusha that we're defining. The purusha is the one who's the chidabhasa having the kutastha. The chidabhasa which has for its being, its swarupa, the kutastha. That's the definition of this purusha. So he says, this abhasa purusha, this reflected consciousness, sakutastha, which has the kutastha, right? So together with the kutastha. So the chidabhasa together with the kutastha, vivichya tam. Having differentiated, vivichya, having differentiated, indeclinable past participle, having differentiated tam, that kutastha, kutastaha asmi iti, vignatum arhati, that person is able to know, to know directly, immediately, what? Kutasto, kutastaha asmi, I'm the kutasta. Having differentiated the kutasta, he's able to recognize, I am the kutasta, right? So he says, iti abhyadat shrutihi. So this is what the shruti has said. Actually, you know, they're talking about the whole process of how knowledge actually takes place, how one recognizes the self, you know. Having recognized in your own sphere here, here you are, your being, here your mind is, your sense organs, your body, that differentiation has to take place between satyam mitya. What is the changeless being that is the reality of my experience right now? You know, it's like the pot trying to figure out, okay, what is really the thing that is here? What is really the thing that is here? I'm not talking about the handles, the name and form. I'm not talking about the lip of the pot. I'm not talking about the base of the pot or the roundness of the pot. That's all nama-rupa. I'm talking about who is the pot? What is actually here? What is the self, the being of it? So now here, here for you, what here in your experience as a jiva, you've got the chitta-bhasa, your body, your mind, your sense organs, your thoughts, your moods, your emotions, all of this activity, all of this change, all these nama-rupas, names and forms, what is the self of them? What is the being? That's the differentiation. How to make the differentiation? It's not that hard. Yourself is not going to be an object that you're looking at, right? It's going to be you, the one that's there, not something that you're looking at. It's not going to be something that's coming and going, that's changing. If it's coming and going, it's gone. Right? Anything that comes and goes or changing, it's gone. That's not you. It could be mitya that can have you for its being, but it can't be you. Right? You're the one that is always continuously there. So this whole maya, if you look at the maya, it's always coming and going, it's always changing, there's no constant. But what is it there that it's enjoying as its being? The same for you as a jiva. What is it here that is the very being of your experience? The self, the conscious being of your experience. If that has been vivitya, differentiated from what is continually changing, if that differentiation has been made, then the chitta-bhasa can say, I am the kutasta. And who is it referring to? It's referring to what is actually there, right? Just like the pot can say, I am the clay, that is my truth, that is my being, that's who I am. You have to be able to say, I am the self, I am the kutasta atma, that is my being, that is who I really am, that is what is really here, is me. And it is always here. I am always here. There's not any part of my experience ever that's away from that. And so this being that I am, if I use words to say I am that, that's what we call lakshana. Because the one who is speaking the words, right, has that for its truth. Even though the one that is speaking the words is mitya, there is no mitya that is away from the satyam, right? The mitya is the satyam, or the satyam is the mitya. You see what I mean? Because when we're dealing with satyam mitya, there's really nothing there but satyam. You see that? If we're like clay pot, there's really nothing there but clay. Satya mitya in reference to this experience, there's really nothing here but me. But the me is not coming and going, right? It's the constant. And so that's the Achilles heel. Because there's a big difference. There's a big difference between what is constant and what comes into being and goes out of being. And can make that discernment, right? And then you realize this is what's changing, what's going into being, coming into being and going out of being. Right? It's nothing but being. Right? There's nothing, there's no substance there at all. So that's the differentiation that has to be made. Once that differentiation is made, you recognize it, then you say, the chitta-bhasa says, I'm the kutasta-atma. It is. Do you see how it is? If the Chirabhasa said, you know, I am, my nature is I am thinking, I am feeling, I am looking, I am seeing, right? Then it's talking about its own faculties. It's not the Lakshartha, it's the Vachartha. But if it says, I am the Kutastha Atma, it's talking about its being, its truth, who I really am. See how that works? It's very important to see, you know, that you can say, you know, you can say, I am limitless, and know that you are actually talking about that the one who's saying, I am limitless, right? The one who's saying that is limitless. The words aren't limitless, but the self that you're referring to is that. So that's the thing. These words are resolving into the fact. So then he says, asandigdha viparyasta, asandigdha viparyasta, bodho dehatma nikshate, bodho dehatma nikshate, tadvat atreti niranetum, tadvat atreti niranetum, ayamitya vidhiyate, vidhiyate. He says, asandigdha means, I'll do the sandhi, asandigdha aviparyasta bodhaha deha atmani ikshate tadvat atra iti niranetum ayam iti abhidhiyate. He says, a knowledge, there's a bodha, a knowledge, which is asandigdha, it's like a cognition, a nishta, very firm knowledge, that asandigdha, there's no doubt about it, it's aviparya, you know, there's no error, it's just firm, there's a firm knowledge. What is seen in reference to the self being the body? Okay? For the samsari, I am the body, I am me. Otherwise I'd be taken to be psychotic, right? I am this person here. It's so firm that we don't give it a second thought. We know that. And I am functioning as this person. So I have this nishta, you know, in this ajnanam. Ajnana nishta. It's very, very firm, okay? So he says, now, we see that nishta, that very firm, doubt-free conviction that the Atma is the body, Deha Atma, okay? Tadvat, like that, Atra, like that here, in terms of self-knowledge, just like that here, Nirnetum, in order to get that firm resolve, right? To get that firm clarity that here, in terms of myself, I am that. I am that Kutastha Atma, that Nishta. Here he says, Ayam iti abhidhiyate. The word Ayam is being used. Where? In the first verse. In the first verse, you have to always remember this whole thing is just the first verse. The whole thing is unfoldment of the first verse. He says, Atmanam chet vijaniyat. If the self, if one should know, if the Purusha, who's the Purusha? The Purusha is the Chirabhasa that has the Kutastha. The Chirabhasa who in reality has for its being the Kutastha. That's the Purusha. So if that Purusha, if that person should know the Atma, Atmanam Chet, if they should know the self as what? Ayam Asmi. I am this. Right? If that person should know it in that way, I am this. So this word ayam has come. Why does he say ayam? Why should the person know the self as this? Why did he choose, why does the verse choose to use the word this? They say, he uses the word this, the Shruti uses the word this, because just like an Ajnani will say, I am this body, It's an aproksha jnanam, how you are convinced, I am this, this body is here, known to you, it's immediate. How it's immediate. Like that, in that same way, I have to know that I am this. And the this now is referring to me, the kutastha atma, the aproksha atma, which is as clear to me as to be myself, as this physical body is clear to the Ajnani. So the ayam, this is the idea. If I say, I have two words, this and that, two pronouns, this and that, which is closer? This. This is closer than that. Right? So the word this is referring to that which is immediate, which is immediately recognized. So if I say, I am this, then this becomes, that I'm referring to, is what we say, aproksha. It's immediately, directly recognized. So, let's do one more verse. Dehatma jnana vajnanam. Dehatma jnana vajnanam. Dehatma jnana bhadakam. Dehatma jnana bhadakam. Atmanyeva pavet yasya. Atmanyeva pavet yasya. Sanechan napi muchate. Sanechan napi muchate. He says, like the deha, sorry, deha atma jnana vat jnanam, deha atma jnana bhadakam. Atmani eva bhavet yasya sa na ichan api muchate. He said, just like dehatma jnanam, that cognition that the atma is the body, the knowledge in reference to the self, atmani eva, which negates the knowledge of the Atma as the body. So just that the knowledge which negates that cognition that I am the body, okay? For the one who has that direct immediate knowledge that negates the knowledge that I am the body, for the one who has that knowledge as strongly as the one who has the knowledge I am the body, right? So the one who, like that one who has the knowledge, I am the body, the person who has the knowledge, I am not the body, I am the Atma, and that knowledge itself, which negates the knowledge of I am the body, right? For that person, nechen api, even if they don't desire it, muchate, is liberated. Even if they don't want it. Because if you see that you're liberated, you're liberated. What are you going to do about it? You're going to say, I don't want to be liberated. Even if you don't want to be liberated, it's too late. Swamiji used to tell a lot of jokes about this, because making up a story of the knowledge is being given and the student sees it and says, no, wait, I don't want to be liberated. And the teacher says, I'm sorry, it's too late. Because if you see yourself as firmly, if you recognize the nature of your being, you know, who you are, what are you going to do about that? If you know, you know. You can't take it back. It's kind of like, you know, even when we use the rope snake analogy, example. Once you see the rope, what are you going to do about that? Oh no, I really wanted it to be a snake, you know. Please, I wanted it to be a snake. I'm sorry, it's too late. You've already seen the rope. Once you see the rope, the snake is gone. Once you recognize your being, you can't become a samsari again because you're not one. You're not one. What can you do about that? Because the problem here is not one of becoming, right? It's not one of becoming. It's not one of creating or doing something to make yourself into something. It's recognizing something that you, the self that you are, which is the self that you've always been. So you're not becoming liberated. That's the thing. You can say, oh, no, I don't want to be liberated. It's not only too late. It's too late, but in actually, it's not even too late because the fact is you've never not been liberated. It's never not been. So once the ajnanam is removed from the chidabhasa, the chidabhasa now is not going to... See, this is the big trick in it. Say that now the chidabhasa was the one that was ignorant, thinking, I am the chidabhasa, I'm the samsari. Now what happens to that chidabhasa? Like the snake, you know, the, whatever it says now, if it says I'm the chidabhasa, then it doesn't know myself. If it says I am the kutastha atma, it's recognized that, right? What can be done now? There's nothing can be done. And so it is too late. Even if you want to be an ajnani, if you want to be bound, you can't be. Because that is not your swarupa and you've recognized the truth of it. So. Let's stop here because we go into another section now. It's actually going to move us into the, well, I won't tell you. You can read it. Let's just take a minute. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.